workshops, a gift shop, and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
Spring break. You only get one each year. Making what to do kind of a big deal. But no worries. Mall of America's here to help you plan the best spring break ever. Headed out of town? We've curated pro-level packing lists so you're prepped and in perfect style wherever you're headed. And you can even click and buy with Shop MOA online. It's so easy. Looking for an amazing in-town getaway? Radisson Blue Mall of America makes it so simple. Like their fun-filled Rad Spring Break Package with all family entertainment galore. Or the Fort Blue Kids Camping Package. S'mores included. Want a day to just play during spring break? It's off to Mall of America because there's something for any age. From Crayola Experience to Moose Mountain Adventure Golf to Nickelodeon Universe. And just when you think it couldn't get more fun under our 72 degrees and sunny roof, it's our 30th birthday! There's a surprise around every corner, from exciting events to great giveaways. Our birthday, your gift. The best spring break ever. Visit mallofamerica.com/springbreak to start planning yours today.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for tuning in as we celebrate stories and creating. I hope we can tune our imaginations together. You know, it snowed last night, and I woke up, and there was a robin on the fence post, just looking confused, just like me. And I thought, I wonder if the robin thinks the same things that I do. I took a picture of it, and you know, it is April, and, you know, we just think about it. A few weeks back where the temperatures soared up to the 60s, and I think we all lost our minds thinking, whew, we made it through. We're ready. What a relief that was. And we were ready to, you know, look behind, leave winter behind us, and also escape from those closed-in feelings of the pandemic. And that lasted about a minute, and then here we are back again. But, you know, it's every spring. I have to remind myself that we live in Minnesota, and every year the calendar may switch to spring in March, but in our world, we can only be sure that it's spring when June is on the calendar. Oh, it just seems like it's only here for a minute, right? Because, boom, it's summer. I always remember it. Take advantage of those days before the mosquitoes come. Sit outside a lot before the mosquitoes come. And, you know, because I know in my lifetime, it has snowed on Memorial Day. I can remember the picnic distinctly that we were having with all of our relatives. The snow came, and it was really surprising. We've had snowstorms for May Day, and we've watched baseball openers, which is today, so happy baseball opening, wearing hats and gloves and scarves. We dream about our garden, so we buy flowers for the front steps, and for about 2 weeks, we constantly check the temperature and the weather every day so that we sometimes know that we have to bring the pots into the garage to protect them from the temperatures hovering around freezing. And that's the challenge of spring for us. So we go back inside dreaming about the warmth and the sunshine and the blue skies. And that's when we hunker down and spend time with our other passions. At least I hope that's what you're doing. And it's the ones that don't involve those sky, water, and sunshine. So what is your indoor hobby? Because we need it. If you live here, you know you need it. And I've said it before on this show that I imagine that at the end of this pandemic, we are going to emerge with some amazing new arts and crafts that people have been, you know, learning new skills, trying new things. And that there are going to be songs and paintings and sculptures, stories, photographs, carvings, jewelry, birdhouses, weavings, pots, sweaters, drawings, and just about anything you can think of that we might make during a time when we are entertaining ourselves. And we've been at home for a long time, and we've probably been spending time alone, even if we're with family. And I'm so looking forward to joining community again. That's been the thing that's been missing. And I think that being a part of community makes it easier to take adventures and try new things and just to feel that connection to relieve some of that loneliness, because we humans need each other and we need ways to engage our imaginations and our hands. We need to play and noodle and dream and make things. And so there is power in that making. So I am excited to share with you some more about the makers. And so I want to welcome to Art Zany Radio my guests today, Dave Peterson and Ezra Plemons from the Cannon Valley Makers. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's very exciting because I've been following this story for a while. For those of you that don't know the Cannon Valley Makers, they are a creative community based in Dundas. And the group aims to share tools, expertise, and resources to create a makerspace that will serve people of all ages, backgrounds, and skill levels. And they're located right at 300 Railway Street in Dundas. Very easy to find. We have to say that if you know Martha's Eats and Treats, which if you don't, you should. They're right across the road, so yep. It's very easy to find. And folks, first let's do some introductions. And Dave, why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about your world and your making, and kind of how you connected with making.
Well, my father owned a factory. And so I sort of grew up in a maker space. I spent a lot of time there as a kid working and learned I was very comfortable with machinery and enjoyed it. And then when I retired, I took up wood turning, that is making things like bowls and vases out of wood on a lathe, and built up a shop. And then a friend of mine, Lauren Larson, put his machinery into my shop, and we had a shop that had a lot of equipment, and we decided that it would be best if we could share it somehow with the community. And there were a number of other like-minded spirits in town, Ezra being one, who joined us very, very early. And we put a group together, and with perfect bad timing, in February of 2020, we opened our doors and then closed them for a while.
Yeah. But, well, I'd like to hear a little more about your woodworking and turning. And you make beautiful things. You've been a part of the Fine Craft Collective, mm-hmm. and the Riverwalk Market Fair,
right.
and all kinds of different markets in town. Mm-hmm. So people may know your beautiful bowls and your candles and mm-hmm. All kinds of shapes and things.
Yes, vases and a wide variety of things. Platters. I've made some large platters. It's great to get a little bit known in town, because people call up and say, "Hey, Dave, I've got such and such a tree that came down." Or
you're the go-to guy.
Yes, right. And do you want the wood? And usually I do. So.
What kind of trees make the best for turning?
Well, of course, locally, black walnut is very popular, and it does make beautiful things. I also like to turn cherry, American cherry. I also like to turn elm. Elm is very beautiful. It has a very interesting grain and color.
I don't think I've seen. I have to look at that.
It's a little hard to turn sometimes because the grain can be very twisty and complicated. But elm is nice. Birch is nice. Almost all of the local species. I've turned some local Kentucky coffee bean, some local ironwood, so-called. A variety, wide variety.
And I would imagine each piece of wood has its own story to tell you.
Yes, each piece of wood talks to you in a certain way, and if you don't understand it, it'll talk back and make your life difficult. So.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here, and I can't wait to share more of the story. But first, I want to hear, welcome to Art Zany Radio, Ezra. This would be your first visit, I think.
Yeah, and thanks for having us. I was just sort of lost in your description of spring, and also just getting sidetracked by all the yard work and stuff I need to make to solve that. But yeah, it's great to be here and to be in spring and here with Dave.
And you're in IT at St. Olaf, as I understand.
Yeah,
Tell us about your job there.
I work at St. Olaf in IT, and my job there ostensibly is to work with technology and creative uses of those technologies.
So one of my favorite things in my job is to be able to find people, help them talk about their ideas, and maybe think of possibilities they hadn't before, and to connect them with the tools they need to do those things. And so that's why the makerspace has been a great extension of my job, in that I get to have all these tools and solutions that maybe people didn't know and connect them to it.
Oh, I like that way that, it, you know, in essence, I think there is something about both the sort of computer engineer brain and the creative brain that are very similar. And I hadn't thought about the finding the right tool to do what it is you're kind of working through in your mind, that's a really great thing. Is there a maker experience that you enjoy, a tool that you can think of that is one of your favorites?
I think every time you ask me that question, I would have a different answer. But today I'm just remembering kind of where my background in creativity came from. And honestly, I think it comes from cooking and being in the kitchen and doing many things at once and balancing a desire to meet a goal, but also to allow the experience to sort of drive itself. So
that's how I think about cooking too, in that, cause some days if I don't feel like I can be creative, I always tell myself, you can do something, you know, with your mac and cheese that makes you feel excited about eating it. That's totally different than you've done before. Or you know, you can create something with flavors and scents and herbs and spices. It's just, it's absolutely a great creating space. That is an interesting idea. I don't think there's a kitchen out at the makerspace, but that's, you know, I think that's another way that it shows us that all of us have access to creativity and being, it's a part of our everyday life, even if we don't see ourselves as a maker. And maybe we should start, because there might be people listening that term is new. Like, what is a maker? So I don't know which one of you wants to grab and tell us a little bit about what is a maker.
Yeah, I think, you know, the term kind of rose in popularity maybe within the last 15 years, but mm-hmm. It really just comes from that mindset of being able to use tools, you know, use machines, take things apart, figure out how they work, use your hands in a time when we've been so drawn to screens and other technologies that are abstract, and being at the end of a day after a hard day of work, looking around and not really having anything physical to show for it. I think the maker movement kind of has grown out of that, where people wanted to create things physical, to relearn old skills that have been lost, mm-hmm. and sort of get back to things like ritual, tradition, and craftsmanship.
So it's like a building block to, you know, kind of explore what you're curious about and see mm-hmm. where that takes you. I think that's a pretty great thing. And it's, you know, like you said, it's a fairly new thing, but I feel like, wow, where has it been all this time? Mm-hmm. It feels like a natural progression.
Yeah, I think that's what we all felt when we got together, was why doesn't Northfield, of all places, and this area have such a facility? There are so many people here who are creative and have an amazing range of skills and experience and are very generous with their time. And, of course, as we learned during the COVID shutdown, very generous with their money. We can't thank all of those people enough who donated during those times when this makerspace was really not open for use. And
well, yeah, let's talk about that, because I learned the word makery when I was looking at your
yes,
Facebook page. I love that.
Right.
It's like, of course, it's not a bakery, which is, there is one, Martha's Eats and Treats, but then the makery. And so I think it was the last time we talked, you were kind of in that, you know, we have this idea, we're looking for a space, mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out how can we, you know, bring this to life.
Yes.
And so now you have your makery. So yes. I'd love to learn how you selected that site, and to give us, you know, for both of you, a little verbal tour for our listeners who might be wondering, what would be in a makery?
Well, we ended up in that site pretty much because it was almost the only option.
Oh, yeah, there's not a lot of real estate.
Real estate, as you know, in this area is very, very tight. And what we needed was a light industrial space. And we found that. We looked at it. It wasn't quite what we thought we needed the first time we saw it. The owner of it at the time put in quite a lot of work and money and invited us out to see it again. And we decided to, you know, take a leap. And so we took it.
How do you take a blank canvas, if you will, of a mm-hmm. space and make it into what you maybe had in your imagination?
Well, it's very it's a very fluid situation all the time, and will, I presume, be that way sort of forever. Basically, the shop is laid out so that the very front of the building, there's actually a little reception area and some retail. The city of Dundas wanted us to have retail as part of our offerings, and we agreed to that. And also we have a couple 3D printers in the front, a sewing machine, a serger, and also a little CNC computer-controlled paper cutter, a Cricut, as many people are familiar with them.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense now. I've heard of Cricut, friends talking about Crickets.
About their Crickets, yes. Right, yes. Like, wow, and that was a gift. All of these were gifts. Everything, essentially every piece of machinery in the space was a gift. So then you'd, from that front space, you would go into the middle space, which we try to keep fairly clean. There's a very, very nicely equipped electronics lab, complete with power supplies and wave generators,
circuits
and oscilloscopes, and boxes and drawers of components, and a soldering bench. And that is something that was completely set up by one of our board members, Tom Baraniak, who's on staff at Carleton and is an electronics wizard. And also in that middle space, there are a number of small power machines, like several scroll saws, excuse me, and small drill presses, and a lot of hand tools, you know, hammers and little flexible shaft Dremel-type machines for carving and whittling and engraving on things. So it's a very kid-friendly, safe space. You have to wear safety glasses, but other than that, it's not a dangerous space. There's nothing that's likely to take your finger off or anything like that. So that's the middle space. It's quite open, the middle space is. There are a couple large tables there, which people use for assembly and so on. If they're making furniture, it's a generally the place where they glue them up and maybe put a stain on them and so forth. And then there's the back room, which has a very well-equipped wood shop. Has just about anything you would expect. And that's, you know, all of that is set up, and that space gets a lot of use. And we are also developing in that space a metalworking area. Hmm. We have coming online soon a computer-controlled plasma cutter.
Wow!
Which is really nice for metalworking. We have a small welding machine, and we have a metalworking lathe, a metal cutting bandsaw, and a wide variety of hand tools for bending and shaping metal. So,
sounds like you've got everything covered.
We've got a lot of things covered. There are a couple of areas that we've, intentionally stayed away from. Fiber arts, we don't have enough space for it, and there's excellent fiber arts group in town.
Mm-hmm.
And we also decided not to do ceramics because the Arts Guild does ceramics very well, and as you know, the fabric arts group in town, the ceramics community in this town is just absolutely amazing and very so helpful and mm-hmm. supportive of new ceramicists that anything we did would have been redundant at best.
So. Yeah, so that's, I mean, wow, that's a lot, you know, to think about. And so, Ezra, take us through if somebody were coming in, and what would, how would you suggest somebody approach the space? Because it feels like I would walk in and think, I want to do little that.
Sure.
What do people do?
You know, and I like to back up a little bit and just sort of reiterate how nice it's been to be in Dundas. You know, where we're in this location that you may not look at and think, oh, that's very much from the outside. But, you know, it's, again, steeped in tradition. At one point, it was the blacksmith shop. It's right next to the rail line.
Oh,
you have the beautiful Mill Park and downtown area. And so you can go and spend a day there and make the makerspace part of your whole afternoon. And when you get in there, you know, I feel like it's as much as it's laid out as it is, it can change. And it changes based on our members and what they need. And so if they need to change the layout a little bit, we can do that. And so I think coming in as a first timer with a mindset of exploration and wanting to learn a new trade or learn a new skill, I think it's just the fact that you can gather there. Everything's open. You can explore and you can kind of see what other people are working on and sort of find out who it is you want to get in contact based on what other people are doing. And so just, you know, it is like Dave mentioned, it's kid friendly. But it's not a kid's space necessarily. It's a family space. Mm-hmm. And we like to see when families come in and learn things together. It's really great to see everyone being confused together, everyone having that eureka moment together, and then leaving with something that they've done and can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like that idea too, because it's a space that is out of your house, so then maybe you're able to concentrate a little bit more or explore a little bit more or find something that you wouldn't have at home or take a look at what somebody's doing over on that table and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think I'd like to try some of that.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, too, we should talk to our listeners about the Cannon Valley Makers space. And for some of the tools, there are probably requirements for training and showing your expertise, especially
yes.
with some of the power mm-hmm. tools and the woodworking.
Yeah.
So how does that work if someone...
Well, at this point, we've been able, so far, we've been able to handle that fairly informally. But the understanding is that when you join, you agree that you will not use any piece of machinery that you don't know how to use.
Mm.
And people have been very good about that. And we do have training opportunities for people, whether they're one-on-one or we hope to have some group get-togethers, you know, classes coming up as well. So one of the other rules is that if you're using certain heavy pieces of machinery, you have to have one other adult in the building with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a precaution.
I read that you know, just in case something happens, you need
yep.
to have somebody who
right.
can make that
somebody
phone call
can make
or
that phone call. Mm-hmm. Right.
Get some help if you
yep.
need it.
Right.
And that I think that's a really good thing. And the idea of having a woodworking space, which is really hard to do if you live in an apartment, if
mm-hmm.
you know, have a smaller house or, you know, you have small kids around. And there's a lot of reasons that having a full workshop is hard to do in your own space. And so this
yes.
gives you access to that and expertise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other people who share that
yes.
passion. And
right. yeah. yeah, we're always able to put them in touch with new members, get them in touch with somebody who knows how to use certain pieces of machinery. We have, for example, a computer-controlled router for wood. So it's great for making signs and relief carving and cutting out complex shapes and so forth. And we have two or three people who have gotten very familiar with that, very competent in managing it and using it. And they've been very generous with their time and knowledge and are ready to share it with new users.
So. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your favorite projects that you've witnessed there or that you've done yourself in that space, so people can start imagining how that might be used and, you know, kind of pique their interest in what might be possible to accomplish or, you know, witness or share with the community.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, great things from 3D printing to people making, I don't know if you remember Audrey 3000 from the Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh,
someone
yeah.
made a full-size costume based on that, which is excellent. I think it's still in progress. To see groups come in there, epoxy river tables. I don't know if you've seen
yes,
those.
I have seen those on like home shows.
Yes, but we had a student from Arcadia wanted to do one of those for his senior project, and so he came to the makerspace and we worked with him, and he generated a very nice looking piece. As I said to him at the end, it came out much nicer than we had any right to expect, given how much we knew when we started. So.
Well, and that's what a great experience. Imagine being able to take that from, you know, something you see or you hear about and you think, well, I wonder if I could do that.
Yeah.
And then having the resources available to make that happen.
Yes.
What pride and, mm-hmm. You know, and then that craftsmanship builds confidence so that they, I think I could try something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that, what a beautiful story. And I'd love on your, if folks want to maybe see some of these things, your Facebook page is probably the best way to
yes,
track you down.
Right, I think the Facebook page probably.
And so it's Cannon yeah. Valley Makers. Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. We're here today talking with Dave Peterson and Ezra Plemons of the Cannon Valley Makers about this great organization. It is, they're located in Dundas, right on the main way there. 300 Railway Street is the official address. You can take the bike trail. You can take the road. I don't think you can take the train. Not yet. But it's very easy to find. And each what day of the week is it? Tuesday Tool Day? And then Monday Maker Day?
Monday Maker Day and Tuesday Tool Day. Yes, those are the two regular postings that we have now.
Don't forget the Saturday for make and take.
Saturday make and take, right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we have open house from 5 to 7 on Tuesdays. Somebody is there, usually me. And so anybody who wants an introduction to the space can drop in and get a tour and think about membership. And on Saturday mornings from 9 to 12, we have a make and take, which is generally focused on families, something that kids can do with their parents and make something that they can take home and enjoy the fact that they made it. And those projects are all over the map. They're just one of our members, Michelle Martin, is a teacher at Prairie Creek, and she's enormously creative. And Ezra is also a great contributor to that. So,
and that is open if you're a member or not a member. It's a good way to get oriented to the space and
yes,
experience.
It's a good way to get oriented to the space, right.
And so then people might be thinking, well, this sounds like something I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those options to come and experience and kind of, you know, be in the environment, meet the mm-hmm. people, look at the things that, you know, kind of, I can't imagine you go in there and not get excited. So if somebody wants to become a member, what does it mean to become a member of the Cannon Valley Makers?
Well, you can do it very easily. You can go online to our website. And you can sign up there. You can arrange to make your payments there. Most makerspaces in this part of the country and elsewhere as well charge at least $50 or $60 a month, sometimes even more, sometimes $80 or $100.
Wow.
We decided when we first opened our doors that we wanted to make ourselves as accessible to as many people as possible. So our monthly fee for an individual is only $25.
For the entire month?
For an entire month. So for $300 a year, you can get access to all of that machinery whenever you want it.
That's a phenomenal access. That's
yes,
amazing.
It's a really good deal. if you think of what the costs are of setting up a shop, you know, there are very few pieces of machinery in the building that wouldn't cost at least $300 to begin with.
Exactly. And you could not build that in your own space.
No, no. And you can take out an annual membership, and that gets you what we call a maker's dozen of 13 months instead of 12. So that can all be done online. Once you're a member, you'll be given the combination to the front door and get a general tour and come and meet other makers and stop in and do whatever you want.
What amazing. That I guess I wasn't expecting that it would be quite that affordable, right?
It's pretty modest. It's a pretty modest price. And it's meant that, you know, finances have been a little tight sometimes because renting real estate like that, you know, a 3,600-square-foot industrial building is not inexpensive.
Well, we should mention, too, that there might be people who just love the idea and want to support your organization. So
yes. It
maybe membership isn't the way to go, but if you'd like to support the efforts and you know, the community and being able to have access to that, you are a nonprofit.
We are a 501c3. And yes, we take donations, and donations are fully deductible. And I have to say that during the shutdown, COVID shutdown, if it were not for the generosity of the people of this area, Dundas, Northfield, and elsewhere nearby, we would not have survived. There are many people who have supported us, even though they knew that they would not be making use of the space.
So. That's a fantastic story to tell, and I think it says something about this incredible community.
It does.
And I'm curious, you know, you dreamed of this a while ago, and let's start with Ezra. Tell us how this maker's experience has been more than you imagined, or was it what you dreamed? How is it now that it's, you know, exists in real life?
Yeah, and just looking back, you know, to a few years ago when we were just a group of people meeting at the library or in each other's living rooms trying to just figure out how to do this and, you know, how much all that original group sort of laid out in their personal lives to sort of get it started, you know. But yeah, now that it's there, you know, I just feel like we really need to stay determined to keep it. I don't think it's a loss I would want to feel like if it did go away. So yeah, I think there's just a determination to like sort of pay it back to the members that have kept us open in that way. You know, I just like to think of it as like a third space that I enjoy living in. I have my home, I have my work, and then I have the makerspace. And sometimes I go there and I don't even like make anything. We have really good Wi-Fi, just FYI for members that are interested. We have a nice working space, and so people can just come and just, you know, bring their computers, bring their books and read. We have a library of get this books that, you know, go through all the subjects of woodworking to framing to all sorts of things.
For some inspiration.
So, yeah, you can come and learn how to do things and plan your ideas and draw them on the big whiteboard and meet other people. So, yeah, I mean, it's just such a great space, and I think that's the thing. Our focus for this spring and summer is going to be is find ways that our members can find each other easier and communicate with each other.
Yeah, do you have any you know, guidelines or rules, or you know, how does a community operate? Because as I read on your site, there's no employees and no staff, so it is truly a community space, and it's made up of the people who are members and who want to be a part of that experience. So how have you managed to make that successful?
Well, I think one way is that we've just sort of harnessed and allowed for the energy that people have on their own. And so I think people who have wanted to get more involved have reached out, and we've kind of found spots for them to fill in and work to do. It seems like there's no shortage of work to do. So anyone who's interested could contact us, and we could help find a spot where they could join our, we call it the planning group. It's like the board plus. But, you know, I think just allowing for people's energy when they're ready to come in and contribute is what we want to do.
I love that idea of, you know, and that says that everybody, it's a space truly for everybody, that anybody can be a part of that experience. There are no special prerequisites right. or, you know, other things. Even for the Saturday morning make and takes, you know, anyone is welcome to be a part of that experience. And there might be some framework, right, of what you might do, but your own imagination is where you take it. Yeah. That's got to be exciting to be in that. How does it, you know, as a maker yourself, how does it make you feel to be a part of that community? What has it done for you, Dave?
Oh, it when I go in on Saturdays or other days when there are people there, it just is a really inspiring and heartwarming experience. I mean, it's just... here are all these people being creative, making things with their hands, learning how to do things, enjoying each other's company, learning from each other, teaching each other, and it's just enormously gratifying to see that.
Yeah, and one thing I learned also is that it's not just an open space, but sometimes there are classes.
Yes.
And time with, you know, hosted hours, so someone will be there.
Yes.
Also, I saw this birthday parties there. Like, how dreamy is that?
Yes.
I don't know. Like,
right.
For me, that would have been a perfect thing.
Right. Yes, we've had a number of people have birthday parties there. The local Girl Scouts have met there a few times. You know, they come and they work on one badge. You know, they pick something that they can do there in the makerspace. Yes, we have classes. We've had classes, tie-dyeing classes. We've had, I've teach wood turning sometimes. I have a couple classes running now. There, I've also taught classes in making like a charcuterie board. You know,
there's some beautiful images,
beautiful strips of wood that glued up. That's been very popular. We have a we have an origami group that meets on Monday nights, one Monday night a month. I think the first Monday, and we have We're having a screen printing workshop in May. We have somebody who knows what they're doing, and they're coming out, and people will be able to screen print their own T-shirts, as I understand it. We have, I think this Saturday, we are having our Saturday make and take is... knitting needles and stitch markers or something like that.
Making knitting needles? No.
I'm not sure.
Not sure what we'll do this Saturday. I meant to ask about that. Last week we did garden markers, like tiny gnomes. And so
how awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really glad you read our sort of description blurb when we started as an introduction for us. But one thing we did while we were in the pandemic this winter is we sort of redid our whole mission statement to simplify it and really just sort of get to the point. And so we broke it from that whole paragraph. We just broke it down to, we want to bring the joy of making to all.
Oh, that's a perfect summary.
And so to see, you know, families working together, to see like a passing of skill from one generation to the next, I think really also iterates some of the value of the space because, you know, I have two daughters and to see them being fearless, working on tools and experimenting, being happy to make a mistake and learn from it, and being happy to like repair something rather than throw it away. Just, I just, when I see groups learning and working together like that, it just really makes the space worthwhile.
Yeah.
I would imagine that does open up so many possibilities. And as I was sitting here, I was thinking, you know, my kids sometimes say, I'm so bored. And I thought, that would be a great answer to ride your bike down to the makerspace. And, you know, I just love this idea of the possibilities. And that word joy is such a great thing, I would imagine, is a part of that experience. I saw photographs of some middle schoolers there with the Posca paints, pens, which are really popular right now and pretty amazing tools. And just having a great time together. And what a way to have a everybody needs a community space that they can feel safe to go to. And so I think that's delightful. And you've also partnered with some local organizations. I'd love to hear a little bit about some of those projects. I forget which one was Laura Baker, and I forget the
Rotary.
Yeah, tell us about those connections.
Well, with both Laura Baker and Rotary during the COVID shutdown, they wanted to run their usual fundraisers, which previously had involved
big galas
and providing samples of local brews and other goodies, and being unable to bring everyone together, we designed and built some very sturdy, very nice boxes that they then used to deliver these to their donors.
A gift.
And they're, the boxes are very sturdy and very attractive and a good, like a good picnic caddy, if you're carrying a bunch of stuff out to your patio for a picnic, then they're ideal. So those are the two principal ones. Let's see. What else?
There were some free little libraries,
Yes, we built some little libraries, in particular for the Latino parts of town and those communities, and got a donation of books from, of course, our local bookstore of Spanish language books.
We should mention Content Bookstore.
Mm-hmm, right. And yes, we did that.
There's a group of mentors and mentees that meet there, right?
There's it's called Project Friendship, is that what it's called? Where college students from both Carleton and St. Olaf are paired up with grade school kids, and they are a mentor-mentee relationship. And they have a sort of a group membership, and they come out every once in a while, just a pair of them, just one student and one young student. And so that's also been very good. Yeah.
I just love what's happening here. I just feel like there's, so much the possibilities and being in a community that supports that and says, yes, that is a space that we want to have here. Is says something. And how many maker spaces are there? And is it common for a community to have one? Is it kind of a new thing? I know both of our colleges are developing that, but that's primarily for the students,
right?
But community spaces across the state. How many did you look at those before?
Yeah, we visited most of those. There are two in the cities. One in Mankato, one in Duluth. I'm not sure if there's one in Rochester or not. But they're scattered all over the country. We've had contact with one in Bozeman, Montana. I visited one a long time ago in San Jose, California. And so there was a time when people were trying to make them as a commercial venture. It didn't really work that well for most of them. Most of those have sort of closed up shop. And actually our mission, when I think, at least when I first started thinking about it, I was basically thinking of a workshop for adults. But then people like Ezra and Michelle Martin and other people from the colleges and the schools got involved, and really it became clear then that our focus in this community would be a little different from what the focus of those other makerspaces is. We really wanted something that would appeal to families, that would provide services to families and children. And that's what we've done.
It is a beautiful story, and it's so exciting to be able to see that it came to life. Mm-hmm. You had this dream, this mm-hmm. idea, this passion, and, mm-hmm. and here it is, an actual thing. There's going to be a couple places we want to mention that you're going to be in yes. the community, kind of getting people oriented and, you know, sharing some of that. And those are some upcoming dates. One, I think the first one is the 22nd for Arts a la Carte, right. which if folks don't know about that event, my goodness, mm-hmm. it is at the Northfield High School, and it is an immersion in, I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it? There's something happening in every hallway.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, that is an example of what a makerspace can be like, right? So I think the reason these larger commercial spaces failed is because they tried to bring top-down ideas, like, we have this space that does this, come join it, ideas to small communities, and that didn't make any sense. What you need is a space that can be sort of built from the ground up. And so Arts a la Carte is a great example of that, where the students and teachers are just bringing so much passion to the event. And we're not actually going to be with Arts a la Carte. We're going to be adjacent. There's a makers fair that's the first time sort of operating in the high school at the same time.
Oh,
and so
fun.
It's technically two things, but co-located. We'll be there as a guest in the Makers Fair, which will be in the robotics area, I believe, in the high school.
In the high school, right.
Yeah, and that is, again, Friday, April 22nd from 6 to 9. And, you know, it's something, if you haven't experienced it in our community, I think it took a little break for the pandemic. It's so exciting mm-hmm. that it's coming back. But, I mean, there's booths from the honors art students. There's activities by visual arts students. There's just an all arts festival, really, because I believe there's music and just a showcase of every, and it's just so inspiring if you're at all interested in the arts in our community to be able to see that, you know, what we bring forth and what we value and what we encourage in our students. I think it makes them, you know, as they launch off into the world, to have this as a part of a value, a really extraordinary thing. And so I hope that people will take part in that and join your Makers Fair that is happening concurrently with that. Mm-hmm. There's also the Northfield Earth Day. Tell us how you're going to be a part of that. That is on, is that also that weekend, the 22nd yes. and 23rd of April? Mm-hmm. So a lot coming up right around the corner.
Right. Well.
Yeah, we'll have a table there as we've had the last few times that we've been able to be there. You know, one thing that our first year, 2020, that was able to kind of keep the lights on too, was one of our members had an idea to sort of promote and sell garden beds, cedar raised garden beds for spring. And so we were able to do that, and we've offered those the last few years. So I think we'll be raffling off one of those and sort of just be there to draw attention and let people know who maybe haven't yet are new to the community and haven't been down to Dundas enough. Let them know that we are here and what other groups are here. And
yeah, I was surprised to learn that there's NorthfieldEarthDay.com, which I didn't even know it had its own website, so people can come, because there are things happening in every corner of our community for that weekend. So it's exciting to know that you'll be a part of that, and you can spread the word on what is happening. So yes. Have we missed anything? What else do we need to share? Just a couple minutes left here.
One thing I'd like to mention is we're trying to plan some day camps for the summer. We know that entertaining children in the summer is sometimes a challenge, and it's nice to have things where you can drop them off and they can be productively entertained, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at trying to get a few of those set up for the summer. So you can keep an eye on our website for those. And I don't know that there's anything else.
Yeah, I just want to say a thanks to all our members who have helped us out. And it's their space. You know, the maker space doesn't make anything. The members do. And so to our members and our board who have just worked so hard, just eternal gratefulness to them.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And I think it's such an extraordinary story. It's the Cannon Valley Makers. The best way to learn what's currently happening is to visit Facebook page. Just search Cannon Valley Makers. I think that'll pop mm-hmm. right up. And there's all kinds of links there to, you know, images of things that are happening and ways to get involved in upcoming events. As we mentioned, this Saturday, the Make and Take from 9 to 12. Everyone's mm-hmm. invited to join. Stop in at any time. It's just come and go. Mm-hmm. And just really, I hope people, you know, discover this place. That's and just imagine what could be possible.
Yes.
And the joy. And that's what I'm going to hang on to that, that's definitely a part of it. Yeah. So I want to thank you for being here today. It's been my thrill to be able to have Dave Peterson and Ezra Plemon. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time. And so I'm thrilled that we got to share your story.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Folks, I just love hearing these stories about what's happening in our community and all the possibilities. It's just, it's pretty incredible. And so I want to bring up another one that's happening this weekend. This is from the Northfield Arts Guild on Saturday at the 411 concert or 411. I think it's 411 concert series. Dori Freeman is going to be there and tickets are still available. You can go to northfieldartsguild.org to get those. Dori Freeman is just, when you hear her sound, there's something really amazing, the clarity of her voice and the way that she sings. She is raised in the Blue Ridge Mountains, so you can hear some of that. But she has she's an incredible young artist. And, you know, Dan Rustad and, my goodness, Ray Coudray, there we go, have been bringing great artists to our community. So I want you to celebrate. I'm going to play a little bit of her tune, The Storm, from her brand new album, 10,000 Roses, to close out the show. So I'll come back and officially sign off in just a minute here. But here's a sample of what is possible for you to listen to this weekend. Again, that's Saturday night at 7:30 at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. This is Dori Freeman. That is Dori Freeman. That's The Storm. You should check out her video of that. You can find that out on YouTube or her website, Dori, D-O-R-I, Freeman. And it is just a really beautiful song, and they've got a great, great video with it. So she's coming to Northfield. That's, again, on Saturday at 7:30. And so tickets are available at northfieldartsguild.org. Opening up for them is Craig Wozner, Rob Ryden, and Maren Brogger. So great, great, great stuff happening. Also tonight at the Northfield Arts Guild is the Atemporal Emerging Artist Show. That's the closing event tonight, the closing reception from 7 to 9 at the downtown location of the Northfield Arts Gallery. And those are seniors from St. Olaf and Carleton who are part of a fifth-year emerging artist or education assistant program. Their exhibit is again called Atemporal, so something that you should check out. And that exhibit is just up, I believe, through the 9th. So that's very soon it's going to be closing. So you'll want to check that out. It's always an inspirational program to see what they're dreaming about and have in the gallery. So folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for listening. I hope that you don't forget to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Real Radio. True Variety. 95.1. The One.